lame. Okay. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We want to do all that you would have us do. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that come in our life that help us to be more like your Son so that we can be ready for what has already started to happen in the world. We thank you for the latter rain that falls upon us and one day will fall more abundantly so that we can go forth and proclaim your truth to even more. Bless us with opportunities, Father. Bless our minds, our memories, everything that we need. And thank you for John 14:26 that says you'll bring all things to our remembrance, whatever you have said out to us in the Word. Cut our hearts deep today. Thank you for changing the showbread each and every Sabbath as you do, as you have promised to do. Thank you for being among us because you do say that whenever two or more are gathered that you're going to be in their midst. Thank you for the technology that allows us to have many people from around the world join us in our humble little home church. And thank you so much, Father, for blessing all those that are on our prayer list with answered prayer, especially those that are in desperate need of salvation. Thank you for blessing all those that help the ministry in the way that you promised to help them and bless them, as your word says. And all those that are involved in this last day movement, Father, we pray that you bless them in a special way as well, so that we can bring more people into the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, everybody, I don't know if you know this, some of you may not realize, but it's exactly, today is 161 years ago, the prophecy of Daniel began, ended, actually, I'm sorry, the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel 8 and 9. The end times began October 22nd, 1844. Anybody with a calendar and the ability to decipher what Daniel talked about. And all that's the thing I like about with Daniel especially, because now that we're in the last days, we don't have time prophecy. We know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. But in Daniel's day, he was given specific dates and times. And that has to be, that series of prophecies in Daniel happens to be my favorite and a lot of people's favorites because of the way certain things had to happen in exact years, and they did, just like the Bible said. And so we have all sorts of dates and stuff like that in regards to calculating it and knowing for a fact that October 22nd, 1844 was indeed what he said it was. Okay, for those of you that are new, welcome. I've seen some new faces in here, on the Internet anyway. And what we do for the Sabbath study, it's either Bible study or we go into Sister White's writings. We happen to be in Sister White's writings right now. If you don't believe she's a prophet, that's okay. You don't have to. You could just use her for like a Bible commentator. Everybody puts trust in books that Easton wrote or Spurgeon or Matthew Henry. What I've always seen that is a blessing is I suggest to some people that do use those other Bible commentators, I tell them, why don't you try Ellen White's writings? She comments on just about every verse in the Bible, and use her for about 3 to 6 months. You'll never pick up those other books again because she opens things that they leave wide open. You know, they have, like for example, in that one Bible that came out in the 1910 Scofield Reference Bible that had that lie in there about the 7-year tribulation that the Catholic Church invented to try to stop the Reformation. I have that Bible here. I have one of those Bibles here where it has all those so-called theories of a 7-year trib or a preterist view of Antichrist or even a futuristic view. I mean, they got them both in there. It's just confusing. And there's just all these holes, these gaps, and these unanswered questions, and they use words like maybe and perhaps and could be when they're talking about prophecy, whereas with Sister White, you don't see words like that. And like when we preach, you won't see words like maybe or perhaps or could be, because we'll just show you where the Bible says this is what it means or that is what it means. And that's why whenever I share with somebody on how to pick up Ellen White's writings and use her to decipher, like hard Bible verses, you'll be blessed. You'll definitely be blessed. What we're in right now is a book that is a compilation of a bunch of her writings in regards to what happens in the last days. We're on page 45 of the book, and for those of you that don't have the book, it's going to pop up in the room in a second here when my son throws it in the room. We're on page 44, actually on page 44, we're ending on page 44. We're on letter 96, July 5th, 1900. This is the chapter in the book that deals with... Go back a little. Pardon? F2 will pop in for everybody. You can double check on the laptop, it should pop in. There it goes. All right. Okay, this is the chapter that has to do with opposing forces. The chapter before that was about leaving the cities, I believe. Or was it the health message? I can't remember. But anyway, that's what we're in now. We're in chapter 5, opposing forces. Letters 96, July 5th, 1900. She says, from this time unto the end, men will... Oh, and by the way, for those of you that don't have these books in your home and you'd like them, someone put into the text chat that website that has an exact duplicate of the CD that we all, just about all of us have. There's a website that looks just like the CD when it popped for Ellen White's writings. You can actually read all of her published writings on the internet. And I suggest you, if you want, get a hold of that CD. I think there are some people that are selling it for like $5. It used to go for $800 when it first came out, if I remember right. Anyway, letter 96, July 5th, 1900 says, from this time on to the end, men will spring up, men who are remarkably sharp, with whom those who have not an intelligent knowledge of the truth, or who do not have special help from God, can in no way contend. In other words, they can't fight against them if they don't have a competent knowledge of Scripture. This is one of the reasons it's oh so important to read your Bibles on a daily basis. Otherwise, people can twist the Scriptures, take them out of context, and make it appear what they're telling you is truth. I mean, if you don't believe that, then explain to me why, just like prophecy said, all the world will wonder after the beast. The Catholic Church invented Sunday Sabbath, and the whole world, like the prophecy says, wonders after it, does exactly what they say to do. And that's why they claim to be above the Bible. Because they say, you Protestants out there, you claim to be protesting Rome, yet you can look in Genesis all the way through to Revelation, you're not going to find a verse that says you should be going to church on Sundays. The only place you're going to find that documented is in Roman Catholic dogma. They're the ones that invented it. And so that must mean we're above the Bible. And that's more or less paraphrasing what they said. I've got the actual quotes on the website where they literally say they are above the Bible because the Protestants use their Sabbath that they invented. Well, they didn't actually invent it. It was invented by the pagans. It's called Lord's Day in the old days. The pagan sun god was called Baal or Lord. Lord was just more or less a title. It wasn't so much the name, it was a title. Anyway, continuing, it says, some human agents will be imbued with the spirit of the great fallen angel, we know who that is, who will be present in every meeting to help the human agent to voice his words and to speak in such a manner that many will be deceived, if possible, the very elect. And here, stopping here for a moment, I run across a lot of preachers that say that the elect can be deceived. For some reason, they're seeing where it says, if possible, the very elect can be deceived. They're seeing it saying that they can be deceived. And according to Scriptures, it says the elect cannot be deceived. And the reason is because we're like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. And this is what we should always do when studying prophecy or Scripture or dogma or doctrine, if you want to put it in English terms. The thing is, the Bereans, they would go and hear a preacher and they would take notes. And then they would go back home and open up their Bibles to see if those things were so. If he said something that doesn't match up with Scripture, then they just left him. They wouldn't bother going back to him. And that's what you should do. We should all do this. You shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't trust anybody. And that's one of the easiest ways to show a false prophet in our lifetime is just by using the Bible itself. There's so many of them out there, you know, besides the fact that they use words like perhaps, maybe, or could be. When they do that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to convince you by their own lack of knowledge. They don't even understand what it says. They have no idea what the... That's why they use words like maybe, because they don't know the answer, but yet they're preaching it. That doesn't make any sense. But I always thought, why is this guy trying to convince me by his own misunderstandings? I mean, that always confused me. So I started digging into the prophecies, and I found, as well as most of us has found, that Revelation has 404 verses, and out of those 404 verses, 278 of them are found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. which means we know what those symbols mean. The Bible has already defined them. It's just a matter of finding them. That's all. That's the hard part for some of us. You know, if you have a hard time finding them, just send me off an email. If I can't find them, I'll contact somebody who can. But we've got quite a large list of them on the site, and a list that's maybe 10 or 15 times larger off the site of every symbol in prophecy. So I'll probably be able to find it for you, but if I can't, I do know someone who can. All right, continuing. It says, the brother who may, whom many suppose that he can meet the adversaries of the truth is to know that he is directed of the Lord. What can be done, may be asked. Unless we know that we have a commission from on high, we are to refuse to enter into controversy with anyone, because this is not our work. We are not, this seems like weird grammar for a second here, but anyway. She says, we are none of us to seek to cast out devils, lest we ourselves be cast out. Let all remember how adroitly and cunningly did Satan command Christ to cast himself from the temple, quoting scripture to show him that was the very thing to do, for in this way he could give evidence to all the people that he was what he claimed to be. And of course she's quoting from Matthew chapter 4. In quoting the scriptures, Satan left out a very important point, which reads in Psalm 91:11, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. In consenting to do Satan's bidding, Christ would be venturing into Satan's ways, not in ways that God had devised for his son. That was a dare, and Satan's agents are full of presumptuous dares to get a chance to work his will with those who will accept his dare. And if you want to see some of the dares that are, you got some blunt dares even from childhood, like the word chicken. We've all heard that one, you know. What are you, chicken? Or goody two-shoes and stuff like that. But continuing, it says, but Christ would not accept the dare of Satan. Christ would not enter into controversy with the arch-deceiver and tempter. Angels, as ministering spirits, are in the path. Wait, let me stop there for one of the main reasons that Christ wouldn't have done it, too. Sister White went into this before, and I like the way she explained it then, and I'm going to try and paraphrase it to some extent, but when Christ came out of the water after his baptism, we had evidence that he was the Son of God because the Heavenly Father spoke from heaven saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Plus, it also proved that the Trinity of the Roman Catholic Church is a bold-faced lie. They say that there is one God with three heads sticking out of it. You know, it's just one God, they're all co-equal, right? Where the proof that that's wrong is just in the baptism of Christ. When he stepped out of the water, there you have the Son of Man on the earth, touching the earth, Jesus Christ. Then you had the burnished bronze figure of a dove lighting upon him, the Holy Spirit. Okay, the second part of the Godhead. And then you hear the voice of God himself coming from, you know, the heaven above. So you had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in three different areas. The Son on the world, the Holy Spirit floating above it, and then, of course, the Father way up in heaven. But the thing is, Satan heard that as well as everybody else heard that. He was tempting Christ just for the sake of getting him to do his bidding. Satan knew he was the Son of God. He heard it very plainly, like the rest of the people heard it. And by the way, half the people on that day only heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The other half heard thunder, the Bible said, because they didn't have the faith. They didn't understand. And so they're only going to hear thunder. But the thing is, the devil tried to tempt him just for the sake of seeing if he'll do his bidding, if he'll bow to his demands. That's how deep it gets sometimes, folks. Continuing, it says, angels as ministering spirits are in the path where duty calls the heirs of salvation to travel, and God will protect them from all evil. We are to remember what Christ, our head, did, and never to step out of the path of God's providence and place ourselves in a position where we might be weakened by the enemy and overcome to our own hurt into the injury of the cause of God. Kind of reminds me of the one point where Christ himself says, they're going to say that I'm in the inner rooms or in the deserts. Don't go there. Does he need to explain himself? No, he doesn't. He just said, don't go there. But a good way to explain why not to go there is by reading Revelation 19:10, where John the favored apostle of Jesus Christ, who saw Christ raise people from the dead, saw him walk on water, knew who he was. When he got into the presence of that angel, what did he do? When that angel appeared to John in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, what happened? He fell at the feet of that angel and gave it worship. That angel stopped him, of course. But that fallen angel that's on the planet, he wants worship. He's not going to ask you to stop. He's going to ask you to continue. So when they do start saying that Christ is in the inner rooms, or he's in our church, he's not in that church, or wherever, or in the deserts, like Benny Hinn says, he's showing up now. Benny Hinn's also saying that he's showing up in the inner rooms. If you don't believe me, I have an audio clip of Benny Hinn saying that. He started saying that about 5 years ago. Yeah, yeah. That's a Catholic thing. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I don't have that audio clip. I think there's another website that does have that audio clip on the website. You think I have it? It's not on my website, but it's on my hard drive. I know that. Where Benny Hinn, what Fran just said, what? It's on a videotape. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I got 2 hours of expose where they went behind closed doors and exposed Benny Hinn. But he had this so-called vision before he was popular, and he saw this face of Jesus Christ on the wall on the other side of the church as he was preaching to the people. It was behind everybody. They couldn't see it. Only he could see it. But then Jan Crouch came up after Benny had said, yeah, and that thing was on the wall for 2 weeks. You know, it was Jesus Christ, you know, his face on the wall floating, all that. And then Jan Crouch came up and said he saw it too. He confirmed it for him. These are the kind of people we're dealing with today. And they're out there saying right now, don't go there. I mean, they're out there saying, yes, go there. Jesus Christ is here, or he is there, or wherever. But Jesus just plainly said, don't go there. Reason being is, I don't care if you're a water-walking Christian. I don't care if you can actually raise people from the dead or even walk on air. I don't care if you have the faith to actually lift up a physical mountain. You know, let's get back past the symbolic meaning of mountain. Just raise a whole mountain up. I don't care how strong you are in your faith. If you go into the presence of that fallen angel who's claiming to be Jesus Christ on the planet, you will lose, you know, you'll lose it all. You'll end up bowing at the feet of that angel because you are just a little human. You've never been in the presence of a supernatural being who is glorifying himself in such a manner that he is expecting you to worship him. The angel that appeared to John in Revelation was just standing there in regular reality as himself. He didn't seek worship. But because John couldn't handle it, he fell at the feet, collapsed at the feet of that angel, and was going to give him worship. But then, of course, the angel told him to knock it off because he was a good angel. He says, worship God and God alone. Anyway, continuing, letter 131, October 14th. 1900. It says, those who exalt self place themselves in Satan's power, preparing to receive his deceptions as truth. There are ministers and workers who will present a tissue of nonsensical falsehood as testing truths, even as the Jewish rabbis presented the maxims of of men as the bread of heaven, saying of no value are given to the flock of God. Sayings of no value are given to the flock of God as their portion of meat in due season, while the poor sheep are starving for the bread of life. This happens in a lot of churches, by the way. You go to a church, you're just not getting fed. It happens in a lot of them nowadays because they're not preaching. This is one of the reasons we've all left places like Seventh-day Adventist churches or Catholic churches or Baptist churches or Lutheran churches, because you go, it's dry, it's dead. You're not getting any blessings, you know? And if they do, some of them, it's just plastic blessings. It's just generic. Continuing, it says, there seemed to be a burning desire to get up something fictitious and bring it in as a new light. Thus men try, in other words, some of these guys can't figure out what to preach in the coming Sabbath, so they're going to come up with, or they want to be recognized as an authority in the Word of God. Oh, he's come up with a brand new light. Let's tag this man a prophet and throw him up there and be like Benny Hinn does, or even some of the regular preachers out there that do that. They claim to be prophets. They'll call themselves prophets. And right there, that's a red flag that proves they're not a prophet. If they were a prophet, they would never claim the title as prophet. Because a true prophet would always point back to Christ. You know? I mean, what did John the Baptist say when they said, are you a prophet? He said no. But Christ himself declared him. He came in the spirit of Elijah. You know, declaring that he was prophesying, not to the people. In other words, he wasn't claiming self-glory. He was he also said, I must decrease so that he may increase. when the disciples of John the Baptist came up to him and says, how come they're following Christ? How come some of the people that followed you, John, are now following Christ? Because he said, well, I got to decrease so that he can increase. I was just here to get people ready for his arrival. Well, he has come. Now I can just sit in the background. Continuing, it says, thus men try to weave into the web as important truths of a tissue of lies. This fanciful mixture of food that is being prepared for the flock will cause spiritual consumption, decline, and death. All right, this next one's a short one. It's just our letter 98, June 19, 1901. It says, those in the synagogue of Satan will profess to be converted, and unless God's servants have keen eyesight, they will not discern the working of the power of darkness. If you're not in the Word on a daily basis, you're going to get caught completely off guard. This is one of the reasons you see what's going on in the world today. If you're in Europe, for example, it's really overwhelmingly out of, I mean, they're just totally out of touch in Europe. I feel for those people up there, especially the Christian friends that we have in that area, like in the United Kingdom. We got some folks up there that come to the church services, I believe, and as well as the weekly gatherings that we have in here, like at the Bible Activities Room. In that nightly, I think we do it in there. Or I don't. Rick and Donna and Mondo, I think, do it in there. But pray for them, because the Roman Catholic Church has complete control over that continent. That's been a no-brainer since day one, the way they've fashioned it. They've tested it. They've done everything they can to figure out, and they have been successful in realizing that, yes, a one-world government can work. Because right now, if you go to Europe or any kind of country in the European continent, you can go from country to country without a passport. You can go from country to country without exchanging your money. And the Catholic religion is part of the laws of the land. And the people out there have been so conditioned to stay out of their Bibles, in fact, that they have posters all over the place out there. I've got them on the website on one of my newsletters. They got posters and big billboards showing how they're talking about the European Union rebuilding, you know, for a better they come up with some weird slogan, I can't remember what it was. But they have this, it's a painting of the Tower of Babel, and it's being raised with modern-day equipment. Anybody that reads a Bible knows, boy, are they messing up big time. But if you don't read a Bible, you don't catch it. It's right there in your own, on your side streets, these posters hanging on walls and billboards and that, of this advertising thing that they've been doing in the European Union for 5 years now. Plus, everywhere you look. And it's on their money now, too. On their money, on the coins, as well as on the paper dollars, on the euro dollar. On the back of it, they have a woman riding on the beast. A woman riding on, it looks like a bull or something. Okay? Now, we know what a woman on a beast means in prophecy. That's the Vatican. For those of us that don't understand it, never heard that before, again, we won't give you our own private interpretation or our opinion of what a woman or a beast means in prophecy. We'll just tell you, go to Jeremiah 6:2, where it says a woman in prophecy means a church. Or think about how Jesus Christ calls his church his bride. So, of course, if the woman is an apostate woman, she's committing adultery against her husband. So she would be the whore of Babylon. But what's the beast? Daniel 7:23 tells us that a beast is a nation. So where on earth do you see a woman riding on a beast? There's only one place on the planet. The Vatican is a church and a nation at the same time. It's Rome as well as the Catholic Church. But they don't catch it because they don't read their Bibles. That's why the prophecy of Amos is so, I think it's around 8, chapter 8, verse 11, where he says in the last day there's going to be a famine, not a famine of food, of course, but a famine of reading the Word of God. And this is the reason the devil has gotten, like that article that just came out. I was talking about this on the radio last week. That article that just came out from the bishops of the United States of America, they're claiming that the Bible is no longer considered true. And they could say that because they have gotten the people conditioned to such an extent. So that when these prophetic events happen, they have to keep the people guessing, well, look, there's a big, strong possibility that this Bible isn't true. These theologians, these prelates of Rome, who I consider to have all this knowledge in the scriptures, they dedicate their lives to reading the Word of God, they say. That's what they say. They wear these special clothing and everything. They must know more than me, and they're saying that this Bible is bogus. It does not have the truth in it. So I'm not going to bother with it. So if you don't read it, you don't understand that when they come up to you asking you in regards to National Sunday laws or just symbols with a woman riding on a beast or even when the plagues hit. Think about that, folks. When the plagues of Revelation hit, what does the Bible say the people in the world are doing, what the wicked are doing? They're still building, they're planting, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. Why? They don't even know the plagues are hitting. Because they don't read Bibles. It's that easy. All right, one more we'll do here. It's a short one. Because if I go to the next one, we'll go way over. So let me mark the next one here. Okay, letter 155, September 15th, 1901. Says, there are false teachers bearing false doctrines coming under the guise of godliness, but bearing Satan's science, which once received pollutes the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. These teachers are wells without water. That's a nice thing. It's kind of like clouds without rain. But anyway, they put on an appearance of righteousness, but they lead minds into heresy and darkness. What does the scripture say? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what they're doing. Continuing, it says, they speak great swelling words of vanity about their own power. Thus did Satan when he promised Eve, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:5. What is the main crux of the channeling message since Oprah allowed it to come on TV in the mid-80s? When Ramtha was speaking through that one woman on Oprah, she said, all of a sudden her voice changed and she started allowing the demon to speak through her. The theology of today's New World Order, as well as today's New Age thinking, is you are God now. That's an old lie from Genesis 3:5. That's how, I mean, the devil's not going to change it if it works. Think about it. I mean, if it works, why fix it? Continuing. They turned men and women from obedience to disobedience, from the pure doctrine of righteousness, which dragged them down to ruin. False teachers have always abounded, and in the future they will increase in number and power to deceive apparently working miracles. For example, what Benny Hinn does, sometimes it appears as a miracle, because he's using the charlatan effect. He's not really doing any miracles, and sometimes they do perform somewhat of a miracle, but what it actually is, if you notice sometimes, I got some audio clips of Benny Hinn doing this. When Jesus would cast a demon out, he would cast the demon out. He says, get thee hence, Satan. He would cast it out. And then he would tell the person, sin no more, or something worse would come upon you, right? You ever hear Benny Hinn doing that? No. He'll use words like, release him. And then that's it. He won't say, go and sin no more. Now, what's to stop a demon from grabbing hold of your kneecaps and giving you a major problem in your knees so that in your lifetime you need a healing? And all of a sudden you go to Benny Hinn, and then when Benny Hinn tells the demon to release you, release him, the demon lets go of your kneecaps, the pain's gone instantly. But now the demon's got a hold of your heart or your pocketbook or your brain, whatever. He's got you now. But the fact of the matter is there are false miracles. We know about this. I'm not even going to get into the pharmakia, like with the sorceries that the Catholic Church has been into. A lot of people don't realize this, but all pharmacies must give royalties back to Rome because of the invention of, even in Pharaoh's day, in Moses' time, they used drugs. They called them in that day sorcery. That's what the Bible calls them, sorcery or pharmakia. Well, that's what the word pharmacy came from. All right, finishing up, it says, all should beware of placing themselves in association with such teachers. Their doctrines are attractive, and their deception so carefully is hidden under a garb of righteousness that, if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. In other words, it can't happen to you because the elect, they keep their face in the Scripture. They draw nigh unto God, and He draws nigh unto them, it says in the Scripture. Pray for that, too. Pray for that kind of a faith. Pray for the faith that the Son of God had. Pray for Pray for the faith that David had. Think about that, because one day you may be in a cave asking the Lord, which way should we go, east or west, north or south? And then, since your faith is at such a point that you can hear and understand, clearly, you got to go west, young man, or east or whatever. All right, well, we're going to stop here, and we'll pick it up. I'm going to get a drink of water. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and then for about a minute or two. And then I guess we're going to have a children's story, and then we'll go on from there. So, be right back.